5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Hey, this is not first class.
Circus! Afro Circus! Afro Circus! Afro
Welcome to The Clown Car, a parenting podcast where a mom
and a dad
talk about what it's like being the ringleaders in our own circus.
We are not professionals. The only credentials we have are four kids. So do your research and find what works for you.
Hello, fellow ringleaders. We are your hosts, the Ricks.
Woo!
Crystal and Barry.
And we have four kids, ages 8, 5, 4, and 2.
Woo!
Two boys and two girls.
And a birthday coming up.
A birthday in like 2 days.
Yes.
So then it will be 8, 6, 4, and 2, which is so much easier to say than 8, 5, 4, and 2.
Yeah, we've been waiting for this moment.
That's right. This day has finally come.
Except that we were planning on just doing a family party. And just like last minute, our daughter said, I actually want a party where I invite my entire class. And so,
ta-da!
I don't want to disappoint her because our other kids had parties. I guess I'm already sharing stories of the week, but whatever.
Oh, yeah, geez. Well, let's talk.
So we're going to be throwing a last minute party.
Yeah, well, let's talk about our crazy circus.
Let's do.
It's time for the stories of the week.
So go back to your story now. Tell us about.
Oh, that was it.
That was it.
We're going to be throwing a party now for Jay's class.
Okay. Yay.
I'm hoping that they don't all come, though.
But it's convenient because the day that we're going, they're going to have a Friday off for fall
break. I thought we were moving her party.
Oh, are we?
Didn't we say that?
Yes. Never mind. See, things happen, people, and you're just like, blah, your brain is all
crazy.
That's
the story of parenthood.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's how
circus.
I sum up my parenting. Blah!
Yep. That's about it. All right, well, tell me another story.
Okay, well, I've had an adventure this week.
Adventure.
If you can call it that.
Was it adventure time?
No.
No, okay.
That show is so annoying. So, Monday.
No, it's Sunday.
I don't care. Monday. That's how I sound.
Monday.
No, I'm Monday.
Oh,
this is Monday.
Oh, gotcha.
So on Monday, I went to pick up the kiddos from school. And it just happened that the other two fell asleep in the car again.
Of course.
Right? And so Lacey, I get her out of the car, and she's just throwing this mondo fit. I'm dragging her to the school, and she's just freaking out. I can't remember why. I didn't write that down. But she's freaking out, and I was just going crazy. Like, she was doing that. Oh, she wanted me to carry her. That's what it was. But I didn't want to carry either of them. Because if I carry one, the other one is going to want me to carry.
So I'm like, fine.
Oh, what do you want? So she's crying the whole way from our car to pick up Jay. And then I'm waiting for Jay. And Lacey's just standing in front of me going, reaching up for me like, pick me up. And everyone's staring at me. And part of me knows I probably should have just picked her up. But I was being stubborn.
No, it's the principle of the thing.
It was the principle. I was like, no. So everyone's staring at me, which I feel like they do a lot. But, and then Jay comes out from school, and she has the saddest face. And I was like, Jay, what's wrong? And she's like, nothing. And throws herself into my arms. And I was like, Jay, what's wrong? And she just bursts into tears. And I had no idea what she was saying, because she was like, and I didn't. And
wow.
Yeah, you know that when you just don't know.
Yeah, they're inconsolable.
Well, and they're crying so hard. It's hard not to laugh when they do that.
Yeah.
Telling her story. But anyway, so Lacey's still crying, and now Jay's crying. And I don't know if I've explained this before, but the kindergarten gets out 10 minutes earlier than the rest of the school. So I have to go pick up my kindergartner, and then we go stand by another door for 10 minutes. But Monday, I was so frustrated that two of my kids were crying that I was like, fine, we're just going to sit on this bench over here. And we go and sit down on the bench, and Lacey's still freaking out, and she just jumps in my arms, and Jay's trying to climb into my arms. And I lean Lacey back, and I'm just kind of rocking her, and Jay's leaning against my shoulder. And I look down, and Lacey fell asleep in my arms.
She was just tired.
At the school.
Well, she fell asleep. Yeah,
but now already. I'm like, great, now what am I supposed to do? Because I'm at the benches way far away from the pickup. And then so, Jay, I was like, Jay, just go pick up your brother. And she's still sad, but she went and got him. And then while she's gone and Lacey's sleeping in my arms, Jackson's climbing up this little ledge thing and he slips and face plants onto the cement.
Of course.
And so he comes over crying. And I'm balancing Lacey. And I mean, she's 4 now. It's not like I can hold her in one arm anymore.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to like pat his back and he's screaming and she's sleeping. And then Jay and Grayson come back. And then I'm just sitting there, like, I'm just trying to cool off, because I've already had 3 kids cry in this one pickup.
Yeah.
And so I'm just like, you guys, just play for a second. I just need to cool off for a second and sit here and hold Lacey. And so they all start playing on the ledge, and Grayson is standing behind the ledge, and Jackson's on there, and Jackson's trying to jump off, and he goes, 1, 2, 3! And when he starts to jump, for some reason, Grayson grabs him by the legs.
Oh my, what?
And the kid... Well, what else does he do? He falls face first into the grass and starts crying. And then I was like, Grayson, why did you do that? And then Grayson lays down on the ledge and starts crying. So in this 20-minute pickup, all 4 of our kids cried.
Wow.
And I got home and I was like, watch TV. I'm going to my room. It was so bad.
Oh, man.
And Lacey didn't even stay asleep. Or no, she may have. I can't remember now. But anyway, it was like the worst pickup in the world.
Oh, man.
It's just so embarrassing.
I didn't hear about all of that.
No, I've been meaning to tell you. That's awful. It was terrible. So frustrating. And then the next day, Lacey gets out of the car, and she starts crying again. It's been horrible. Like, just recently, she's gotten really bad. But she gets out of the car, and she's like, it's too bright! It just starts crying for me to carry her. It's too bright, I can't see! And then she starts, like, reaching like she's blind, you know, like, you have to carry me, I can't see! And so I'm trying, this time I'm carrying her, but then Jackson wants to walk along the ledge. Like, cause you know, the ledge is not that, not the ledge he fell off of, but
like the
you
know, curb.
The curb is painted yellow. And so he stood there and toddled down all the way from our car to the school. So the kids, by the time we start even getting close to the school, are already out. Like, they've already dismissed the kindergartners, and I'm like, Jackson, come on! Come on! And he's just sitting there giggling. And I was like, I'm going to explode! This is the next day. And then everyone walks by looking at him like, he's so cute. I'm like, no, this is not cute. This is frustrating. So, it was just ridiculous.
Well, now you need to tell them why Jay was crying.
Oh, right. So, on Monday... I really had no idea what she was saying. I thought she was saying someone like cut her in line, and I couldn't figure it out.
Someone cut me.
And then I got, excuse me. Then I get in my car and I see I have a text message from her teacher, and all it says is, please call me. And I was like, oh my gosh, what did my baby do?
Wow, she was even.
Because she's our good kid.
They're all...
No, perfect. I mean, in school, her teacher always says she's the good kid. Not our good kid, but she is a good kid. I take it back. I apologize, children. So I get home and I called the teacher, and she said that the kids were given a paper that they were supposed to cut out. It was a puzzle, and they were coloring it, but they ran out of time, and so she told the class, don't cut your puzzles. But Jay had finished coloring before everyone and started cutting out her puzzle. But then she heard the teacher say, don't cut him out. And she was worried about getting in trouble. So she pulled out her glue and started gluing the puzzle back together. And the teacher asked her if she had started cutting, and she lied about it. And so Mrs. Pruitt said, oh, sorry. I probably shouldn't have said the teacher's name.
X that.
Yeah, sorry.
Might need to, we'll bleep that out.
Okay. Anyway, so the teacher said... That she felt so bad to move Jay's worm. And, oh, that's what it is. So they have a what do they call it? Like, they keep track of the kids' behavior.
It's like a behavior.
Yeah, and they're apples. And if there's, like, good apple and it goes down to the bad apple where you get sent home. So she had to move her worm down on the apple scale. Just one. And Jay was so devastated, and the teacher was like, I'm so sorry. I wanted to move her worm right back up when I saw how sad she was, but I just couldn't do it. And so Jay's worm got moved because she lied. But to me, it was like a sweet lie.
I know, but it also allowed
Excuse
us...
Excuse me for my kid being an overachiever.
It allowed us to have a teaching moment, though, and I decided to take the opportunity to turn it into a teaching moment about, you know, even if it might get us in trouble, that honesty is always the best policy. So, to not lie.
I know, but I felt so bad. I didn't want to do the teaching moment because she was so devastated. I think she's already learned her lesson.
Uh-huh.
But, so, Barry, the next day before school started, he was like, now, Jay, mommy told me about your worm getting moved. And she just burst into tears, just, like, snuggled up to my arm and was crying. And I was like, Barry, you're opening the wound again. But no, I think it did turn out well.
Yeah.
But it still made me sad. And then we picked her cry is the sweetest, saddest thing you've ever heard.
And then I picked her up from school that day. And, you know, she always jumps up in my arms and she's like, my worm got moved back up. So all was well.
Yeah, it was an adventure.
So, yeah.
So then there's Wednesday.
Oh, wow. Serious? We're still going?
Well, you can start Wednesday morning.
Oh, right. So our favorite not so good sleeper right now is our 4-year-old. Right? Okay. Is that what we're talking about?
No, but that's okay.
Oh, what do you want to talk about?
You can keep going with that.
Oh, the other Wednesday thing. There's multiple Wednesday things. That's how Wednesday was. But we could start about the early Wednesday morning.
Okay.
Which related to our 4-year-old getting up super early in the morning. And she was unconsolable again and would not go back to her bed. And so we had to...
Because she tried to take a drink of water out of her water bottle.
And it spilled.
And it dumped out on her bed.
On her bed. And so we had to lay down a blanket. Okay. Well, she wanted to sleep with us. And I was like, uh-uh.
Yeah, it's way too early,
way too early, and it's my bed. And so we laid out a blanket. And
I like how you're saying we.
Crystal did this. I supervised while... you know, the blanket got laid down on the floor next to us, and she went right back to sleep, so that was nice. But yeah, so that's how it started. But then we had a potentially fun moment.
Well, but then when she woke up in the morning,
uh-huh.
She sprang up like Snow White.
Right. She's like, yay, I'm a happy little girl.
And she said, I want to do this every night.
And we're like, no.
I know, I was like, oh no, what did we do?
Yeah. So, but luckily that hasn't happened again yet, so that's nice. But, so the Scholastic Book Fair is going on at the school, at Grayson and Jay's school, and on one of the days they have Dads and Donuts Day. So you're supposed to bring your dad to
Before school
to the book fair, and there's donuts provided, and you're supposed to shop for books. So we ended up just taking the whole family. Because we all wanted donuts. And
no, that's because it was payday, and I wanted to go pick up books.
That's right.
And have donuts.
So, and we went to go get books, but the lines were ridiculously long, and the kids needed to get to class, and I needed to get to work. So we had the kids pick out the books that they were interested in, and then the person was going to hold the books for us. And then we're just like, okay, we're going to have to, you guys go to class, and we're going to come back later and get the books. But to our children's mind, and especially our oldest, for some reason in his mind, it was just like, we're not getting the books anymore. And we're like, no, we're... And so it was a very big drama thing, and he's very upset. I'm like, no, we're coming back. We're
yeah,
like, we're
just he not, didn't want to go to class.
We're just like, we're just not getting it now. So, but Crystal did end up going back and getting it.
So the poster for the Scholastic Fair says... Book fair from 7:30 to 3:30.
Yeah.
And so I thought, well, I'll go 20 minutes or so or half an hour before school's out and get the books before the kids are out of class.
Yeah.
And so
makes sense.
I load up the kids. I didn't let them get a nap because we had to get there early. And I get to the school and I walk up to the library and I hear that there's a class in there. And so... And the door was closed, so I went back to the main office, and I was like, can I go in the book fair while there's a class in there? And she just started laughing. She's like, no. And I was
rude.
Like, then why does the sign say 7:30 to 3:30? And then...
Did you say that?
No.
Well, you should have.
I was upset inside. I don't want to be one of those jerk people that...
Well, you should... You could have phrased it, be like, I thought I was under the impression that I was open from this time to this time because that's what the poster says.
Yeah, but I would have been like, listen up, jerkwad, stop laughing at me. You're the one that told me to come.
You would never do that.
I know, but I was like, okay. And then so I didn't want to put the kids back in the car, so I'm like, come on, let's go outside for 20 minutes. And so we just sat outside and let them play, and then... I just waited for the class to leave, and then I went back in there. So now there's only, like, 5 minutes before school ends, and I'm trying to find the books. And I kept telling, because the older kids had picked out theirs, but we were going to let every kid get a book. But I have a thing where I don't want my kids to buy the lame-o Disney brand, or, like, Nickelodeon brand books that are just
you don't want-
cheap.
You don't want to buy the books that are pushed upon the kids.
Yeah, I want a real good story, not because have you ever read those Disney books?
They're lame.
We have that princess book that's like 10 stories, and it's like a toddler wrote them. They're horrible.
Yeah.
And so they're just selling them a bad, lame story that's the same story over and over again because they know little girls will buy it. So anyway.
Or they know dumb parents will buy it.
I know. It's ridiculous. And so I told Lacey... You can't buy a Disney book. And then so she put down her Princess Sophia book and then picked up a Frozen book. And was like, can I get this one? And of course, all the Disney ones are like $10, $15 when the other books are just $4. And so I kept saying, no, you cannot get a Sophia book. You can't get a Frozen book. You can't get a Barbie book.
Can't get a... Princess book, Barbie.
Yeah,
and
then so she's all, well, but it's still a brand book.
Oh, okay.
I just kept saying, no, just get a regular book. And I even went through and showed her, like, get this one or this one. These look funny. And then the school bells ring, so I run back and get Jay. And then I tell Grayson's teacher, just meet us in the book fair. And so we go in there, and Jackson's pulling all the toys off the table. And Lacey just won't decide. And I keep saying, Lacey, you have 5 minutes to pick a book, and then I'm picking one for you. And she's like, and then she just lays down on the floor looking at a Barbie book. And then so I'd be like, Lacey, 2 more minutes, and I'm picking out your book. And she'd freak out and not do anything. And I showed her again. Like, I gave her so many chances. And then finally, I'm like, okay, we need to go, because Jackson's, like, breaking toys. And so I just grabbed this book that I knew she'd like, because it has a kitty. And
kitties are good.
And so I go check out, and she flips out, and I was so calm, like, Lacey, I told you that I was gonna buy you a book if you didn't choose, and I picked you out a really good one. And she's freaking out and just totally making a scene, to the point where everyone at the cash register, there's like 4 volunteer moms, they're all just looking at her going, oh, I feel for you. They kept saying that to me. I feel for you. This is hard. And I'm like, yeah, I know. I go through this every time I pick up the kids from school.
Yeah.
And so it was just so frustrating.
Sorry.
I hate book fairs.
Yeah, it's just like, come, spend money, and have a good time.
But spend money at a time when we're not really going to be open when we say that we're open.
Man! Wow, sounds like you have had an awesome week, honey.
I know. Well, okay. I did have some good moments.
Okay. Well, let me say... Our good moment that we had today.
No, I want to steal all of the time.
Oh, okay.
I'm just kidding.
No, so...
It was a good moment.
Today, our oldest, like, made a game. And he's like, okay, come play the game. And there was that moment. There's that moment in your head when you're just like, no, I don't want to. Or this is like, but then you're like, no, I should. You know, and this will be a good, or at least this will mean a lot to, you know, the oldest. And so we went and sat down, and he's like, okay, we need to, like, build a castle. So we took blocks and Legos and stuff, and we each built our own castle, and we each had 3 guards for our castles, and then we had gold in our castles. And the objective was to, he just happened to grab some random dice that he found that were mine, but they were 12-sided dice, so there's, you know, it goes from 1 to 12 on the die. And then when he said we had to do this and this and this, the number was always 10. Like, you had to roll a 10 or higher, a 10 or higher, on two 12-sided dice. So it wasn't necessarily the hardest thing to do. But then it turned into, like, the game evolved to, like, just 10 everything. So if you rolled a natural 10, you got perks instead of just rolling, you know, the sum of 10 on two dice. And you could either move or you could attack or you could steal the gold and all this stuff. And, you know, you'd roll to move and you would move so many spaces. And we would just, like, move, like, an inch each
Yeah, because we're just playing on a blank floor.
We're just playing on a floor, like, you know, like, just moving them along. And surprisingly,
it was really fun.
We, like, played it for, like, an hour.
Except I got out in the first 20 minutes.
No, I was like, okay, it was like the first 20 minutes.
Because I got out and I sat and watched you guys and I was like, I'm going to go make dinner.
So that's what you get for not being aggressive against your
children.
I know.
Like, Jay stole my gold.
You're like, oh, let's be nice. And I'm like, you're going down, children.
But no, it was actually
very clever.
We were even like, you know what? We could do this.
We could, like,
market this.
We could, like, tweak it a little bit and make our own board game.
Yeah, it was fun. And our son, I'm very proud of him.
And we would call it Castle Tens. That's what we got. Because everything, we had to build a castle and you had to roll 10 for everything.
Yeah, it was way fun.
Yeah, so.
And we also today made Halloween sugar cookies.
Yes.
And that was fun to decorate with everyone. And took them around to some people that we know. So, yeah, it was fun.
It was good. Any other highlights?
Yeah, there was two. Because I realized that I really focus on the negative things that happened to me in the week on this show.
I know. Maybe we should just, like, limit it to, like, one bad thing and one good thing.
But I think bad things are more entertaining.
That's true.
I don't want to be like, here's all the great things that
How about this, listeners? Tell us what you like to hear. Do you enjoy hearing all the crazy bad stories that we have? Not that they're bad stories, but, like, the bad things that happen to us. Or do you want to hear more good things? Or would you prefer us to share just, like, one bad thing and one good thing and then go to, you know, the next part of the show? We would love to hear your thoughts and we would take your opinions into consideration. So make sure you can email us or just post on Facebook.
Okay. I love your plug that you throw.
Well,
every time.
We want people to talk to
and
us.
And I
want to
talk about my good mom moments.
Okay, good mom moments.
Because, you know, sometimes I think, yeah, my kids are doing pretty well. I must be doing okay. But there's some moments where I'm like, that was awesome. I did a good job. And one of them was, I was reading a novel, which I've unfortunately read a few of them this week. But I was reading a book and totally sucked into the storyline. And my 5-year-old comes up to me. She's like, Mom. Oh, because they all went out to play. That's why I was reading. Mm. They all went outside to play. And she came back in. And she's like, do you want to play a game with me? And I was like, no, go back outside. And then she opened our game closet and was like, Mom, will you play this game with me, please? And I just looked at my book and I'm like, am I really going to make this book? Tell my daughter that this book's more important than her?
Than spending time
with her. I really thought that. Like, it really was one of those moments where I was like, oh, my priorities are off.
You had to really think about it.
Yeah, and so I was like, fine, let's play the game. And then so we sat down and we played the game. And then afterwards, she smiled. We laughed a lot. And then she went back outside to play and I kept reading.
There you go.
And I was like, that was so simple.
Good mom win right there.
It was. And then another one was, I'm really struggling with my 4-year-old because I just have the two kids at home now. But whenever I ask what they want to do, my 4-year-old always says, watch a movie.
I want to watch a movie.
And it is so hard not to get sucked into that. Like, I'm like, well, fine, if you want
to
watch a movie.
The routine of it, yeah.
Yeah, if you want to watch it, then sure, I can do something else.
I could go read my book.
Yeah,
or...
it's been so hard to be like, no. And I mean, really, we've watched a lot of TV. I want to try and cut down on that. But so I realized one day that they'd watched a ton of TV. And so we're waiting for my mom to come over. She's going to drop something off. And while we're waiting, I was getting ready in the bathroom, and Lacey screams, Mom, there's a monster in the living room. And so I start coming down the hall, and then I just thought, I'm the monster. So I just come out, and I'm like, I see the monster, because it's me! Rah! And I just start chasing her around like the monster, and they were both laughing so hard. It was just so cute. And then Lacey would jump up and turn on the lights. because the room was dark for some reason. And she said, every time the lights turn on, you turn back into mommy. And so I would stand up and be like, hi, kids, how are you? And then she'd flick them off and I'd chase them around and then she'd turn on the lights. And we just went on and on doing that. And they were just having so much fun. And I was like, yes, I'm doing a good job. And then it was funny because later that day, we were all sitting at the table. I was helping the kids do their homework after school. And Jackson just pulls a chair up to the light and turns it off.
Oh, uh-huh.
He turned off the light. Our two-year-old does. And he comes running over and just starts punching me, going, ah, ah. But I was helping the other kids. I was like, Jackson, calm down.
Like, back off.
I know. And then he'd go turn the lights on. And then he'd turn them off and come back over and start punching me. Ah.
He just wanted to play.
I know. I was like, oh, now this is going to be a thing.
That's what you get.
But it was good. So those are my few wins for the week.
Good. It's good to have those.
It is, because that keeps me going.
That's right. You need to have at least one win every week.
Those counteract all the horrible pickups I had this week.
That's right. So let's go on to our article. We remembered how, as early parents and not as early parents, I mean, I guess it affects everybody throughout the ages of parenting, but how you react to your children getting sick and like what you do in the process and everything. And so we researched and we found an article that had some good points to it that we liked, but we wanted to talk and let you know what our thoughts and opinions are about how you should react when your children get sick. So,
okay,
go for it.
Oh, am I starting?
Go.
Okay. So basically our kids get sick and we know that they're going to get better, but we have a tendency to just freak out. And I'm saying we collectively, parents get so scared and so nervous. And so, for instance, in this article, they said that we're not alone in this. One otherwise sane mother I know still sleeps on the floor by her 14-year-old son's bed when he gets the flu to be sure he's breathing.
So, do you ever do weird things like that? Is it weird? Or is that overreacting, you think? Or
no, because I always, even still after four kids, that's one thing that I don't feel like I've ever adjusted to. Like, so I can take our kids being sick, but when it's scary sick, like fever or they have raspy breathing, I go in and check in on them all the time.
I think checking on them is different than sleeping by their bed.
I don't know
because
hey, I'm 14.
I guess I still check on our kids too. I mean,
because you know you do that hover. You're, like, hovering over the bed with your phone light, just saying, like, I didn't see their chest rise.
Yeah, well, sometimes I even just go to check in on them, like, every once in a while, just, you know, see if they're breathing. And I go in there, and they're like, yeah, if you're not sure, like, I can't hear them breathing unless you get really, really close or see their chest rise. And, like, sometimes I, like, poke them. I'm just like,
oh, I know.
I'm just like, poke, and then they're like, and I'm like, okay, you're good.
See, so I don't think it's that far-fetched.
So it's not that far-fetched, but I don't know. A 14-year-old, I guess that I might draw the line there. I don't know if he just has the flu. But
yeah. So an anthropologist says that, and her name is crazy. Her last name has no vowel.
Yeah, it's H-R-D-Y.
Well, I guess Y is a vowel, but
it's Hardy.
Hurdy?
Hurdy.
Hurdy.
Hurdy!
It's like a sneeze. But anyway, so this anthropologist said they understand that this fear is common and appropriate. That is, it was appropriate for most of human history in which half or more of all children would die.
Yeah, so like back in the day, it was appropriate because your kid was going to probably die if they got sick. But nowadays with modern medicine and, you know, proper hygiene and all these other things, like it's not as bad as some people may make you believe.
Yeah, but still, I always get scared. But anyway, so the anthropologist says that even she was strangely afflicted by an image flashing into her mind's eye of her beloved baby falling off her home's banister. It made no sense, she said, until a psychiatrist recently told her that most mothers have such catastrophic images as expressions of concern over safety. It's completely natural.
I'll admit I've had images too, especially like when our kids are outside playing or something like that. And, like, I just see them walking towards the road.
Oh,
like,
I know.
Like, you just have that image be like, you visualize them running out to the road and then them getting hit by a car, and you're just like, and then that's when you're like, get away from the road!
Oh, I know, that's the worst one. Even when you know there's no one on the road,
yeah,
you still picture this sudden black sports car comes zooming right around the corner.
Well, and in our area, it's a truck. I imagine a big truck mauling my children.
That's true. I know, so I totally agree with that. And I remember when I was a new mom, or whenever I first have a baby, I always have nightmares about losing them. Like, once I had a dream where my dad passed our baby around at church, and at the end of church, he brought me a car seat, and inside was not our baby. And I was like, what is this? And he's like, well, I lost yours, so I just found this one.
Here's a new baby for you.
Do you remember that? That was with our very first baby.
It still haunts me. Vaguely remember
that. I think that's totally just a mom thing.
So.
Or parent thing.
Yeah, it's a parent thing. I mean, everyone visualizes and freaks out about bad things happening to their kids. In my opinion, though, for myself, I think that when our kids have gotten sick, I'm generally pretty level-headed.
Yeah.
I would think so.
I am, except when it comes to bugs.
Like, and I'm just like, oh, you know, they're sick. Give them some ibuprofen. That's always my solution for everything. I'm like, it's like, oh, they have a little temperature. Give them some ibuprofen. You know, and everything will be better.
Yeah, it's true. Well, and I like, you kind of already said this, but this infectious disease specialist, Dr. Poznanski, said natural it may be, like, so the feelings of fear, but a hardwired response to a perceived threat also needs to be tuned into the modern age with its greatly improved knowledge-based medical care, hygiene, and nutrition. But that makes me laugh because we've all been to WebMD to check on, like, a freckle or something.
Well, you should never go on the internet.
You go on the internet and no matter what it is, it says you will die.
You're going to die in 3 days.
I know. I remember I had some kind of, like, pain in my side and I got on. I was like, oh my gosh, I have a hernia or my kidneys are about, or, you know, what's that thing that everyone, gallbladder or something. Gallbladder.
It's going to burst.
I know. And I was terrified for days. Like, I am going to have to go get surgery, like freaking out.
Yeah.
But
that same Poznanski guy, he also says, but once a child is 5 to 6 years old,
I love this,
their immune system performs like a top of the line Ferrari. And most childhood illnesses are performing a service in a way, helping it build defenses for the future. And I really like that. Well, I like the Ferrari reference too, but I like how he let people know that, you know, getting sick builds up your defenses for the future. Because Crystal and I have known people personally that they're so germophobic that, they're like, everything has to be sanitized. If their kids touch anything, you know, they put hand sanitizer on their hands right away, and their kids still get sick, but whenever their kid got sick, it was always like way worse.
Oh yeah.
And so it kind of just like continued to feed her mind that like all germs are bad, but I'm just like, no, it's just you don't allow your kids to be exposed to anything, and so they're gonna get really sick when they get just one thing.
I remember I went to I didn't really know them that well, but I was invited. Who was invited to that? Oh, Jay, little baby Jay, was invited to a girl's like first birthday, and her older brother was there. He was only like 3 or 4, but his mom was a dental hygienist, and every time he would put something in his mouth, or if she saw him put his fingers in his mouth, she'd just look at him and be like, "Go wash your hands." It was the weirdest thing I've ever seen. Like, any time you would touch something and then put it in his mouth, she'd freak out and be like, go wash your hands. I don't know if that was, like, a teeth thing or a germ thing, but I was like, your kid is going to have the weirdest complex.
Yeah.
Like, let him eat some germs, lady.
Yeah, he's going to kiss his wife. I got to wash my hands. I got to go wash my hands now.
Seriously, it was just funny. Anyway, I guess what I'm saying is sometimes we take it a little too far.
Well, I think germs are good for you in moderation. It's like everything. It's like, it's important to get sick because your body will be able to handle it better at a younger age. Like, take for example, chicken pox. Say if you don't get chicken pox until like you're in high school or even older, it's like 10 times worse.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I knew an adult that got it that was in college, and he got it like you know, when a kid gets it, it's like, it's a few spots over their body. It's a little itchy. But when, if you don't get it until the first time you're an adult, like, he had it, like, in his armpits, in his ears, and up in his nose. And, like, he had, like, the welts and stuff in his mouth.
I do know. I've known some children that have
had that. That's crazy, though. And, like, I remember getting chicken pox. I had chicken pox twice. And that's, like, that doesn't usually happen. Once you get it once, then that's it. But it's just like, you know, I got it twice and I'm like, I remember staying home from school and it was like the best thing ever. It's like, I'm like, I should get chicken pox more often.
So basically what you're saying is, what are you saying?
I'm saying that I'm awesome.
I got chicken pox twice.
No, I'm saying that it's important to have your kids exposed to things younger rather than older, because your body can, like the guy said, your immune system performs like a top of the line Ferrari when you're between the ages of 5 and 6.
It makes me think of that thing we read last week about the kid that licked his way through the handrails at Disneyland.
Yeah, that's so gross. Like, but
that kid's going to be the healthiest kid in the world. That's right.
Nothing's going to infect that body.
Gross. Oh, but it's funny.
It's funny.
And then, so a little hint that they give you is that pediatricians focus more on the general state of the child than the number on a thermometer. Because you've probably had a kid that had a raging fever. And I don't know, that's one thing. Fevers do scare me. Like, we've had kids that have gotten up to 104, and I'm like, they're gonna die! But pediatricians are always like, yeah, if it gets any higher, just call us. And I'm like, call you! What? But, so they said, they'll ask you questions more like, is the child inconsolable, unresponsive, unable to drink? Those are the biggest warning signs of something possibly more serious. A fever, up to a certain extent, is just a normal and healthy response to infection.
So, and it's true, because all of our kids got better. But, like, generally, like, even when our kids had flus, they were still pretty active. Like,
I don't know, sometimes they've gotten hit pretty hard.
Sometimes they got pretty hit, but they never stopped, like, drinking, or, like, they were like, so out of it, we couldn't, like, talk to them or anything.
Mm-hmm.
So, I like that, because it's just, like, it's not just the temperature that is the deciding factor if, you know, you need to hospitalize your kid. It's, you know, it's all the other little factors that you need to take into consideration as well.
I think that's something we've learned, too, because fevers with, when we were first parents, was terrifying. But now, they're still scary, but we don't think like, oh, we need to call the doctor. We're usually like, let's see
how this goes. Yeah, we usually like,
give them some popsicles.
Give them some ibuprofen.
Exactly.
And if they don't get better after a while, then we're like, okay, then we'll consider something else.
I don't know what people are thinking about us right now.
We drug our kids with ibuprofen.
Not regularly.
No.
Just have to say.
That's right. So, but most parents tend to figure these things out by trial and error.
Exactly like I was saying.
They may freak out during the first winter virus, but may just readjust afterward. So, yeah, just learn as you go. So, now we're on our fourth child, and it's getting to the point where we're just like, oh, yeah, I remember that. And let's, like, just give him some ibuprofen.
Put some Windex on it.
That's right. Spray it with Windex.
The thing that they say is, Dr. Norton says that they suggest reaching out for social support to a more experienced parent, a neighbor, a friend, your mother, and most pediatrician offices have a nurse's line for semi-urgent questions. Not urgent questions, but just semi-urgent.
Just semi-urgent. If it's urgent, you take him to the ER.
But what makes me laugh is about the support group. I'm on this really annoying Facebook paid group called, well, we live in Hobbs, but it's called Hobbs Moms. And I'm sure every town has that, but it drives me crazy. Because you get someone on there saying, like, my child has a fever of 110, what should I do? And it's like, asking.
First of all, if it's 110, your child is dead.
I know I'm exaggerating, but, you know, like, my daughter's coughing and I don't know what to do. I'm like, call your doctor.
Give him a drink of water.
Here, let's ask all these educated in the medical field people.
Unqualified.
So, I don't know. It just kind of bugs me. I'm like, just call the doctor.
So, but the rest of the article kind of talks about more focusing on the parent and us being anxiety-ridden. And when does it get to the point where it's our anxiety towards our sick children is abnormal? And they said, Well, if you start not listening and you're unwilling to listen to experts and like your pediatricians and their reassurances or the things they tell you to do, and you go, you know, you go a totally different route, or you're suffering from other anxiety driven things like insomnia or obsessive monitoring, then that may be a little abnormal.
Yeah.
So
would sleeping by your 14-year-old be obsessive monitoring?
I would say that's obsessive monitoring for sure. But then it goes on and talks about, I like how it says that we tend to focus on the 1%, you know, like,
and we're not talking politics.
No, we're not. It's just like 99% of the time when your child gets sick, your child is going to get better generally by themselves and on their own or with a little medicated assistance. But for some reason, parents, and especially ones that, you know, tend to be anxious a lot, tend to focus on the 1%. Like, oh, my children has, you know, this, and so they're going to lose their arm or something like that. So focus on the 99, not the 1.
The 99% chance that your child will be fine.
Yeah, that's right.
I like those odds.
I like those odds.
Then they say that the goal is to develop the ability to live in a world where any of us could die at any moment.
That's right. The truth about life is death and taxes, right?
And so they said, recognize the fact that some risks are so unlikely that we can't go on worrying about them. In fact, we should be more worried about space debris than about sniffles turning out to be the Ebola virus.
That's right. It's not Ebola. It's just the sniffles.
Which is funny because I remember calling my mom and telling her about, it was right when that outbreak happened in Texas.
Oh, uh-huh.
Just a few months ago.
Yeah.
And I told her that I needed to go to the doctor because our 2-year-old was like getting flu-like symptoms, and she was like, "Well, the Ebola virus is breaking out."
Be like,
and
"Really? Like, that's where you go? Serious? That's where you go?"
I know. Immediately, he was like, "He's dying. He's gonna die. Ebola virus.
Got the Ebola virus."
I know, and it was just so ridiculous that I was like, "Mom, come on!" But then part of me was like, "Uh oh,
what if he does?"
I know. I guess I haven't changed. I'm still like, but let's hurry and go to the doctor.
So, but the article ends by letting people know that you're not alone and don't be embarrassed to speak your worry if you feel it. So if you're...
I guess I feel bad now for talking bad about how the mom website.
No, but if you're an anxious parent, you know, don't feel like you're alone because every parent worries about their kids and...
That means you're a good parent.
Yeah, so speak out.
Unless you're crazy.
Yeah, speak out your worries, and if they're really crazy worries, then... Sorry. I don't know what to say.
Sorry? Nice. We don't care.
We don't care. No. So just focus on the 99 and not the 1, and understand that kids are pretty durable little machines.
They're Ferraris.
And top of the line Ferrari, too.
Yeah, I like that.
So, yeah. So kids get sick. They get better. And we should stop freaking out.
Because everybody dies.
Because everyone dies eventually.
Sounds good.
That's
so
right.
Hopefully, though, you avoid being sick as much as possible.
That's right. So thank you for listening to The Clown Car. Parenting is hard, and we believe you should get a gold star just for trying.
Just remember, our way is not the only way. Find what works for you. You are doing a good job.
You can follow us and share your thoughts on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at The Clown Car, and email us at theclowncarshow@gmail.com. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review our show on iTunes. And until next time, enjoy your circus. You've been listening to a Closet Geek Studios production. For all information about Closet Geek Studios, visit theclosetgeek.net for all your geeky needs, or follow us on Twitter and Facebook.